Good morning, everyone. Brian Newbert here from GoldenBlack.com, live in his car. Once again, driving around Ann Arbor, Michigan. I have never loved my job more than I do right now. It is 2:18 in the morning. I'm driving around a city I don't live in, and I have to explain to you Purdue's 82-58 loss at Michigan tonight. This is your Golden Black Radio Express post-game podcast. It is brought to you by our friends at Fouts Purdue Bookstores, Purdue Federal Credit Union, Michigan Stadium, off to my left. Now, the East End Grill and Ripple & Company and the Whitaker Inn, which if there was a Whitaker Inn in Ann Arbor, Michigan, that's where I'd be staying. But there is not, so I'm headed to somewhere else. Anyway, Purdue loses 82-58, as you're probably well aware. Obviously, a bit of a shocking outcome. Not necessarily that Purdue lost, because crazy things happen in college basketball, and not that losing at Michigan is ever, you know, a crazy, fluky thing or whatever, but just the thoroughness of, you know, the defeat from Purdue's perspective was just almost incomprehensible. The way Purdue had been playing the last six games or so during the six-game winning streak, you know, Purdue was starting to look like, you know, they were the best team in the country again. But, you know, it's no consolation to anyone right now, I'm quite certain. But this is what makes college basketball interesting. It's like stuff like this happens. Like, you think you know what's going to happen in the game, and then you throw the most volatile commodity on planet Earth out on the court, that being the 18-22-year-old male, and something wild happens, something that you never, ever would have thought would happen happens. And that's precisely what happened tonight, because, you know, this was just a total... You know, I can't think of a better term than malfunction on Purdue's part. Michigan had a lot to do with this. Michigan was good. Michigan did some things that gave Purdue real problems. They kind of reconfigured some of their offensive stuff after they played Purdue 5 days ago or whatever it was, and that gave Purdue problems. But this doesn't happen, you know, with one team just being good. This happens when one team is really good and the other one has real, you know, hindrances to their success, shall we say. You know, Purdue has not been a very good defensive team all season long. That has been covered up by a lot of different things, notably scoring, notably, you know, three-point shooting, notably Jaden Ivey's often brilliance. But, you know, the piper was paid tonight because, you know, Purdue's offense, even though the final numbers from a percentages perspective, field goal percent, I need to retract this whole sentence because this one's not going to make any sense. I was about to say the final numbers don't look that bad because Purdue's field goal percentage was like 44%, but that's turning a blind eye to their three-point shooting and their final point total, so... Never mind. You know, Purdue was 4 of 18 from three-point range. That is beyond uncharacteristic for this team this year. But also the risk you run when you shoot a lot of threes, when you rely on a lot of threes to cover up a lot of the, you know, fundamental, existential, whatever word you want to use, limitations your team might have. And, you know, those things that have gotten Purdue beat and those things that can get Purdue beat, they were all sitting out there under the spotlight tonight because Purdue turned the ball over too much, Purdue gave up too many offensive rebounds, and Purdue, most notably, you know, really struggled on defense, really struggled to contain the dribble, gave Michigan a lot of good looks from three-point range that probably had a lot to do with them going 9 of 13 in the second half and blowing this game, you know, to all hell. But I think that it's kind of maddening from Purdue's perspective because your whole defense is built basically philosophically, structurally, schematically, all of that stuff to protect the paint. And Purdue could not keep Devontae Jones out of the paint in the first half. They could not keep Musa Diabate from hanging on the rim in pick and roll stuff. And as I said before, just a total malfunction on Purdue's part in that regard. Very, very disappointing, but if we're being honest here, not wholly out of character for Purdue. This has been kind of one of those things that's been following them around all season that Purdue has just been able to pile three-pointers on top of and, you know, kind of push it back in the box a little bit. But, you know, as I said before, the piper was paid tonight. Three-point shooting is the great equalizer in college basketball. It can go great for you. It can go terrible for you, and vice versa. And in this case, it went bad on Purdue, and it went great for Michigan. And you saw what happened. I don't really know what more to say about this game other than what I just said. But, you know, these are areas where Purdue has struggled often this season, has needed to get better. It is mid-February. These things are still issues. I think it's very important for me to make this next point. Very important. So please, if you hear nothing else from this podcast, please remember this next sentence. I don't even know what Purdue's record is at this point. I know they have 20-some wins and 4 losses. But they have 20-some wins and 4 losses, too. So, you know, I'm sitting here talking about Purdue like, you know, they're the Washington Generals here. And this is still a really good basketball team that just had a really bad night. Again, that happens in college basketball. It might not always happen to this extent where the score looks like this score looks, but it does happen. And it's not the end of the world. It doesn't mean that Purdue's not going to be the best version of itself when it needs to be here in a couple weeks. It is unfortunate that you pulled yourself into a first-place tie in the Big Ten and then you gave ground like this, but it also, I think it bears mentioning some of the circumstances around this game where, you know, this has been a really grueling stretch for Purdue. You just played a really taxing game against Illinois, and look what happened the last time you beat Illinois. You went to Indiana and couldn't put 40 minutes together. I don't know if there's causation there or not, but I think it just bears mentioning. I think the other part of this, too, is that playing a team twice in 5 days is really, really difficult, you know, for both teams, but Purdue is certainly one of those teams. And, you know, just kind of finally, this game was supposed to be played in January. And this is, I guess, kind of the price of playing college basketball in a pandemic is, you know, stuff like this happens. I do think the Big Ten needed to pull its forfeiture rule. So I'm not saying this to make any sort of big picture point. I'm just saying it to just kind of lay out full context about this game. Had Purdue played this game in January, like it was supposed to, right after they won at Penn State, and Michigan was completely broken at that time, I think it turns out very differently. That's not why Purdue lost. Purdue lost because they were bad defensively. They gave up too many offensive rebounds. They turned the ball over too much, and they shot badly. It's a big list. But I do think it is appropriate to mention the full story behind the game, and the whole postponement is part of that story. So I'm only mentioning that to tell the full story here and not to lay out what a lot of you would call excuses at this point. So that's what I got. I can see my hotel as I drive through this empty mall parking lot, reminding me very much of Doc Brown getting shot in Back to the Future. Thanks for listening, everybody. Once again, from Purdue's 82-58, it's not a mistake, loss at Michigan. This is Brian Newbert from goldenblack.com. Thank you to our sponsors, the Follett's Purdue Bookstores, the Purdue Federal Credit Union, East End Grill and Ripple and Company, and the Whitaker Inn. So I'll talk to you guys again on Sunday, I believe. There's two days between games this time. How about that? I'll talk to you again on Sunday after Purdue plays Maryland. So thanks so much, everybody. Take care.